The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord, you are my strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. Get comfortable. I say that in part because nine of us, it was nine, wasn't it, brother? Well, there were nine of us down in convention, was it not? Yeah, nine, yeah. We had nine representing us down at convention. It was wonderful, except for one little thing. It had to do with that little narrow chair we spent 2 days sitting in. And I'll promise you something, this Pollock from Chicago, it was not comfortable in those chairs, no matter how I tried to sit them, sideways, forward. Anyway, I didn't do the crazy thing. Have you ever noticed that baseball is a very simple thing? I mean, really, folks, you get right down to it. I mean, you throw the ball, you catch the ball, you hit the ball, you run around the bases, you score runs. It's just a very simple, elementary game, right? I mean, it is. But for any of you who pay attention to the sports pages, you know that my beloved Chicago Cubs once again did it well. Not as bad as we did in former years, but bad enough. We didn't make the playoffs even, much less the World Series. It's not enough to know the simple game, how to throw it and hit it and catch it and run and all that. It's a matter of the execution that really matters. And you know, when you stop and think about it, the same thing's true of all of our lives. That's a lot about what life itself is about. We know what it is generally that we should be doing, but it's the execution of it that more often than not presents us with the problems that confound us, the problems that cause us to do other things than we should. It's not that we don't know better, it's just that we have a failure to execute things that we should do. It's not that we lack the information. But more often than not, it's the pig-headed stubbornness that keeps us from willingly doing the things, saying the things, etc., that we should. In today's gospel lesson, we have a perfect illustration of such a controversy. Jesus is fussing and feuding with the Pharisees. Nothing new about that. We've been listening to it for weeks in Matthew's gospel. And because Jesus is fussing with them and daring to tell them, they didn't know what they're talking about. I've had a few church leaders in my life that I've had this same kind of experience with. It wasn't just Jesus and Pharisees. Actually, I got invited by one bishop to go to the back room with him and have a better conversation and miss a conversation. But that's a whole other kind of story. But anyway, they were upset because, you see, Jesus had them. They knew what was right. They knew what they should have been doing, but they were willfully doing other things. And just like baseball, living for God, living our Christian life, it's actually a series of rather simple things. It's just that we fail to execute them. We heard in our children's sermon this morning this great summary of the law. Remember what is required of us? Love the Lord our God and our neighbor as ourself. And he said everything, law, prophets, the whole shebang, all of Scripture, hang on these two commandments. Very simple stuff. Love God, love our neighbor. There it is, real simple. What part of it don't we understand? It's so easy. And yet I will tell you, confess to you, I have spent literally thousands of hours about the church and its business, arguing with well-meaning folk who refuse to understand this. To love God and our neighbors, ourselves, above all other things. There's a wonderful story that is told about an Episcopalian who passed away. He was on his way to heaven. He had made it. But as he approached heaven, there were two signs as he came up the pathway. This sign said, "This way to heaven." This one said, "This way to a discussion about heaven," as it should have been. You want to guess which one the Episcopalian went to? I'm just telling you. I think you know. The problem with the Pharisees is the same problem was true of almost all church people today at one point or another. And for some of us, more often than not. Because it's not so much what we do always, but how we do it. It's not a matter of what we say, but it's how we say it. The intonation that we use as we talk one with another, and especially as we talk with people who have yet to discover what we know about Jesus. And because of our behavior, and because of the way we form our words, they'd rather have a dose of something instead of the Jesus that we say we know. You know, it's really very simple, folks. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's really simple. But the fact remains that we prefer to have a dialogue about what we think it should be. What does it mean anyway, we want to ask, because then we can find the wiggle room that we can keep from doing the things that God is calling us to do and to be. I mean, over here, here's a man who is in need. And we can't fix everything that's wrong with him, but there is something we could do with him. And we ask, do I have to love him? Or there's a dear sister over here who is in desperate need of a friend. Do I have to love her? Do I have to reach out with my hands to her and embrace her? I mean, why do I need her? Or there's somebody that's lacking the social skills that we prize so much. You know, they don't know how to have the teacup in the right place and use the right fork. And they must be Aggies, you know. Oh, excuse that, that's a Texas thing. But pick out whichever school you want to substitute in that name. But you know what I'm talking about. They're not socially acceptable to us because they don't dress or smell like we do or the way we think we should or they should. Oh, yeah, and over here sits that person who is utterly and totally obnoxious. And there they go again. Do I gotta love them? And let's not forget there is that person who did or is seeking to do us harm. As Father told us several weeks ago, do we have to forgive them? Do we really have to love them? Jesus said what? Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. What part of that do we not understand? Really, what part do we not understand? Once again, I say to you, I have literally spent thousands and thousands of hours in committees and commissions at National Church, at Diocesan, and in other forums, and vestries, and everything else in my life in the church, where people are arguing against loving our neighbor. And the biggest comment that I ever hear is, if I only knew what God's will was, what he really wanted me to do, I would do it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. I'm done. What part of this do you not understand? You know? And we wonder why it is we can't attract anyone. Maybe part of the problem is it's the Jesus we're showing. There's a wonderful story that comes out of Kenya that's an old story. Maybe you've heard it all before. I don't know, but it really bears telling once again. It seems there was a young man in Kenya who went to this Christian woman who was a widow, a farmer, and she was in desperate need of additional workers to help take care of her farm. And this man, he indentured himself as they do there, or they did, for 6 months. And he worked along. He lived in the quarters she provided. He ate the food that she provided, did the work that she required of him. And at the end of the 6 months, he came to get his release form so he could move on to yet another employment. And she was so pleased with this man. She argued and worked with him and offered him more wages and all of these other things in hopes that he would stay with her. And he said, no, 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 no. And finally, she got out of him what was going on. He was going to go down the road a ways to a man by the name of Muhammad. And he was going to indenture himself for another 6 months. And at the end of that 6 months, he was going to make a choice based on his experience with that man and his experience with her as to whether he was going to become a Muslim or a Christian based on the example of those two people. Every day, my friends, you and I, we together are in contact with people who are desperate for what we claim we know and who we claim to serve. Every day. So tell me something. What would happen? What would happen if the newspaper had a reporter who was going to follow each and every one of us around this next week, and there was going to be a printed story next Sunday about that experience? What would that report say? Would it speak of Christ and him crucified and coming again and our love of our fellow man? Or would it tell a different story? The truth of the matter is there is a reporter who is going to be tailing each and every one of us, the Spirit of the living God. And that report will be taken. And there will be a lot of people who will be watching. Who will they see? The Jesus whom we claim, who has told us to love God with all of our heart, our mind and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves? Or will they have a different testimony? To God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.